Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for hanging in. I know this is a rough time of the day. 2:30 in the afternoon is like nap time sometimes for folks. But thank you all for being here. I am Theda Rose, as she said, at the University of Maryland School of Social Work, and I also want to acknowledge Nadine Finnegan Carr, who's sitting in the front with me. She's also the co-investigator on this project. She will take all and any questions at the end, just so I can keep her involved. Just kidding. Not really. But she just wanted to acknowledge that. I don't have any relationships to disclose in the past 12 months. And I just want to start off by acknowledging the funding support for this data set. This is a data set that I'm using. It's the National Survey of American Life, which was supported by a grant from NIMH to Dr. James Jackson, who's at the University of Michigan, and also the Program for Research in Black Americans, because they did all the data collection, and so they, and some of you may know this data set and this project, so it may not be unfamiliar, but I need to acknowledge them for allowing me to use the data. The adolescent sample is actually not public use, so they've given me some leeway in using the data for certain projects. So just educational success, and I'm so happy that we're talking about the positive aspects of adolescence. I come from a youth development background. My interest is in mental health and youth development, so I'm really excited that there's this, you know, that we're really looking at asset-based perspectives and key developmental outcomes among adolescents. And educational success is one, particularly among, and I'm looking at Black adolescents in particular. So it's really crucial, it's really important for adolescents' development, for their potential in the future, for their life chances, and we kind of know that in general. For Black adolescents, there are some challenges. There's still some gaps that exist at state and national levels in terms of their outcomes, in terms of state testing. They still, as a whole, academically underperform in school. They have higher retention and suspension rates than other adolescent subgroups, and they're more likely to attend schools that are in poverty, schools that are resource poor. So they have less access to certain resources to really help them engage and succeed. So this puts them at greater risk for experiencing lower quality of life and really moving forward in their development as other adolescents may be able to do in terms of their educational outcomes. And so why look at mental health? There's a lot of factors that really influence educational experiences. Less is known, though, about psychosocial health and here mental health on educational trajectories among adolescents. And this is important, as adolescence is really a time where there's some positive growth and development. This is a time where adolescents are discovering who they are. They're learning how to be, you know, the self-efficacy is what they're struggling with or trying to develop. But it's also a time where there's stress, right? There's stress among anyone who works with adolescents, and I work with them for a really long time, knows they have a lot of stress from family and from other things that are going on in their lives. So this is a place where stress develops, and also mental health problems may emerge. So examining well-being and problem aspects of mental health are critical because each may contribute differently to their experiences. So this kind of holistic way of looking at mental health, and I'm going to talk about it a little bit in another slide, but it's really important to look at not just the problem aspects and come from the deficit perspective, but also that positive or well-being perspective of mental health. So also looking at mental health is important because we see that it affects educational outcomes, and there are not a lot of studies that focus on this, surprisingly, but what we have seen in the studies that do exist is that mental health or well-being is associated with better grades and higher test scores and better long-term outcomes, whereas problems, mental health problems, are more likely to promote poor functioning and poor educational outcomes or attainment in young adulthood and grade retention problems and also school dropout. So really, you know, mental health problems are related to more of the negative experiences among adolescents in general. We also, another reason to look at mental health, particularly among Black adolescents, that studies suggest that there's greater psychiatric problems and comorbidity. Maybe more prevalence rate of disorder is a little bit higher for non-Hispanic Black adolescents than non-Hispanic white adolescents. Also, they're not as representative in mental health research. We also talked about, you know, the fact that there is limited information, and this is across adolescents, but limited information about positive mental health functioning. So whenever we say mental health, and I'm not saying we because I kind of fight this fight, but whenever you hear mental health, we think disorder. It goes right to kind of, oh, you know, whenever I say I work with mental health or that's my interest or that's my focus, it's always like, well, what disorder? What, you know, is it depression? Is it anxiety? And I'm like, it's not. Why does it have to be one of those? So there's less focus or information about positive mental health functioning among adolescents. Those adolescents who are doing well, those who are happy, those who are optimistic, those who have high self-esteem, those who feel like they can achieve, they're confident, and you know, those who have strong self-efficacy. There's less information about that in the literature. And as far as Black adolescents, although they are in school settings, schools do provide mental health services, they utilize these services less. So they have greater problems, they may utilize it less, and we know less about positive functioning in terms of their mental health. And I've kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, it's really important in coming from an asset-based perspective to really look at mental health conceptualized more broadly. So even if you're consistent with recent policy definitions of mental health, a state of well-being where adolescents can cope or people can cope, whether it's about adolescents, the definitions, but where there's, you know, coping and there's greater ability to be productive members of society, and these are the definitions that are more promoted when we talk about mental health. But I think when we measure it and we think about it and discuss it in the literature, we're still focusing on the problem aspects and the deficit-based approach to it. So this kind of newer definitions are supporting the contention that mental health is broader than just the absence of mental illness, and that's how it's really been historically defined. And we find in some literature the absence of illness alone does not imply well-being. So just because somebody's not depressed doesn't mean that they're mentally healthy. So it can't just be that, can only be the measure, that alone cannot be the measure of mental health or well-being. So we need really more of a comprehensive framework to address mental health and to see how that's then related to other aspects of development among adolescents. Here I'm looking at educational outcomes. So this study, we're looking at the reason that we did this study or conducted a study is that we want to understand the relationship between mental health and educational experiences among Black adolescents. It hasn't been well investigated. And research, again, suggests that the other part of the study is that to really look at mental health, we have to think through a little bit broader definition or broader conceptualization where we look at wellness aspects and problem aspects. So the purpose of the study is to really identify profiles of youth based on these mean scores, and these are the mental health variables that are used for the study, or we use for the study, which are self-esteem, mastery, perceived stress, and depressive symptoms. And to look at then how those profiles are related to educational experiences among a national sample of Black adolescents. So I mentioned a little bit before about the data set, and this is actually the only, as far as I know, the only national probability sample of Black adolescents that exist. And it's the uniqueness of the data is that it has African American and Caribbean Black adolescents. The sample size is relatively large, 1170. And they range in age from 13 to 17, an average age of 15. And 48% of the sample was male, so a pretty balanced sample of Black adolescents. And the NSAL is really the probably one of the most extensive, provides some of the most extensive data on mental disorders and mental health among adults, Americans of African ancestry. This sample is, or this survey is a complex sample survey because of how the data was collected, because it's a national probability sample, so we had to consider all of those things when looking at the analysis. So the measures that we used, a little bit broader than just grades and retention, but so grades, and this is self-reported grades from the adolescent, grade retention, which asks if they ever stayed back or repeated a grade in school, were they ever suspended from school a day or longer. We looked at school bonding, which was a 9-item scale, one of the questions, like most of my teachers treated me fairly, so their perspective and their connections to school. Educational aspirations and expectations, and these are single-item questions that really ask the young person how far they would like to go in school, so their aspirations towards school, and how far do they actually think they'll get in school, which is more of their expectations. So we looked at these measures. We coded some of these measures so that they were dichotomous. So grades are mostly B's and above, and you'll see it when we get to the analysis piece. And education aspirations and expectations were recoded so that was college and beyond or below college were kind of the two sets of variables that we looked at. And then the mental health measures I mentioned already, and these are well-known scales, so I'm probably don't need to get into them really, but the self-esteem, Rosenberg self-esteem scale, which is well-known and well-used, perceived stress scale, Cohen's perceived stress scale, the 7-item Perlin's mastery scale, and the 12-item CESD. So these are pretty well-known and established scales, and I can answer questions about that later if need be. So we used M-PLUS to do a latent profile analysis, or some people call it latent class analysis, or continuous latent indicators. And to latent profile analysis, or this type of analysis, is used to really characterize this data into distinct subgroups. And so these are, again, the four indicators of mental health. And then what we did was use SPSS to conduct bivariate analyses to look at relationships between these profiles of mental health and some of our educational variables of interest. So these are fit statistics that are typically used with latent profile, latent class analysis. And here, I didn't put all the, we kind of did a test from one to four of the classes to see which was the best profile to use. And here I highlighted the second profile, or the model, second model, because that is the one that was the best fit to the data. So the LMRT, which is kind of the second to last column, was not significant in the third model. So what it says is that the second model is appropriate to use for the data and satisfactory to use to look at the data. So it was is a two class model, two profile model that we are using for the data, and these are just different statistics for that model. And this is what the groups look like. So they're not sexy titles, but they're really clear. There was a kind of higher depressive stress group, and you see there's, if you look at stress and depression symptoms, they're higher than the other profile group, the other profile with the symptoms, and there's kind of a higher self-esteem mastery group. So this is just how the data kind of, the data was characterized using this type of analysis. So there's a higher self-esteem mastery group. So these are the two profiles we use. And then we use these profiles to our most likely membership in these profiles, and then looked at that, the relationship between those profiles and the educational outcomes. So before we did that, we kind of just looked at demographics to see if there was anything interesting there in the data. And really there wasn't any difference between African American, Caribbean, Black youth on the profiles. Male versus female, older adolescents versus younger adolescents. Income, there was some difference, some slight difference there, and it looks like there's a greater percentage of those in the self-esteem master group that have incomes, and these are family incomes, of higher than $55,000. So that was a slight interest to us, but this wasn't the focus, but it was just interesting to kind of see if there was differences there by demographics in terms of the profiles. And here's what we're really interested in, is in understanding how these are related to educational outcomes, or these educational experiences of Black adolescents. So we see here, which is never usually the case, everything was significant. And so school bonding, we see here that adolescents who were in the self-esteem Massey group, there is a greater school bonding, experience greater school bonding. They have better grades, so they are more likely to have grades of B or above. They have greater aspirations to college, so college or greater, which was the how we kind of recharacterized the data, reclassified it. They have greater expectations, education expectations. They have lower chance of repeating a grade, so ever repeated a grade, they were lower, you know, less chance of them saying yes, and also less chance of them saying that they ever suspended a day or more. Now, those are significantly different, but you see that they still have them. So there's still some challenges there, but there was just difference between there was significant difference between the two groups on those particular experiences. So what does that mean? the analysis helped us to understand unique patterns of mental health. And again, kind of goes to the discussion about really looking at some of the positive indicators of the mental health and really including them in how we talk about mental health and how we think about it. So there was two distinct profiles of youth identified, again, the kind of higher depressive stress group and the higher self-esteem mastery group. But what we noticed was even those in the higher self-esteem mastery group had some moderate stress based on those mean scores. So it doesn't mean that because they have high self-esteem mastery, they will have no depressive symptoms or no stress. But so that's why we really want to understand what all of these variables look like together. We want to get a sense of not just the absence of the lower disorder. Again, it doesn't mean that because they have less disorder, there are less problems, that they're mentally healthy. But here we have a group that had higher self-esteem and higher mastery, but they still had some level of symptoms, not clinical level, and some stress. They had a level of stress that was still kind of moderate. So we really have to think through the fact that we can't just look at one aspect of mental health when we think about a kind of a way to really look at the comprehensive aspect of mental health and how that's related to other outcomes among adolescents. So the profiles were all related to educational experiences. Again, those who with higher self-esteem and mastery are more bonded to school, have high aspirations and expectations, and grades mostly being above. The same group also have lower grade retention and less suspensions. So the findings kind of suggest a greater emphasis on fostering better mental health interventions facilitated in school settings. So of course there's limitations, numbers of them typically, but this is a cross-sectional design, retrospective data, so we can't make causal inferences, and we weren't here. We're just trying to understand relationships. Oftentimes among Black adolescents, self-esteem is reported highly. So there may be, we may need to think through other ways of or other aspects of mental health and other studies that we pull in, optimism and other variables that we just didn't have access to. But we may want to broaden how we look at mental health because of that. There were two profiles identified, and so, you know, some there may not be a lot of variance, and maybe with other variables or other aspects of mental health, there could have been a little bit more variance in the profiles that really fit the data well. Is this generalizable to Black youth, but not other adolescent subgroups? But it really is generalizable to other Black youth because of the national sample, so that really is the strength. But we can't really say that this is the same or this would look the same among other adolescent subgroups. Also, it's not up here, but the way that grades was collected was self-reported grades, and that's really not always the best way to get grades from the adolescent themselves. But again, when you're doing secondary analysis, it's what we have. It still gives us a good picture, and because we had a variety of educational outcomes or experiences, we didn't just look at grades. However, there needs to be probably a little bit better measure of grades when we do this again. And again, I mentioned inclusion of other indicators of mental health. So, you know, with that, just to wrap up, the results really support the importance of better mental health to improved educational experiences among Black adolescents. And again, this was something that was really less explored in the literature. The findings have implications for more comprehensive view of mental health in the development of interventions that target better education experiences. So even though we want to typically focus on reducing problem symptoms, we really need to focus on building the positive functioning aspects of youth as well, because we see that those are really, really related to the better outcomes for them educationally. So school mental health personnel, I'm a social worker, so I did a lot of work in school, so I really, you know, with looking at this, it kind of, if I was still working in school, I'm not anymore, but really to help, you know, to kind of broaden how we look at things and how we target interventions in school settings, but school mental health personnel could really develop or adapt interventions, not just to reduce the problem symptoms, but to build in activities to foster better mental health, to foster better self-esteem, to foster a sense of mastery, and those types of aspects of mental health that seem to really be important here in any way for educational experiences among Black youth. And actually, that's it. Thank you.